In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the playoff brackets are revealed and we break them down. Hyde Park goes up and takes it to Grace Community. Green Hill fumbles or maybe celebrates too early against Houston Christian. And is this the fall of a dynasty? All this and more in the Week 9 review of the Texas Private School Podcast. Episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson, coming to you from the heart of Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott, my co-host, joins me south of Dallas in College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder phones in from up north, still the south, but north of me, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Gentlemen, another exciting day, more exciting than some week, I should say, in Texas private school football. Walker, I like the hat you're sporting because we're actually going to talk a decent amount about Green Hill on this program. Number one, how are you doing? Number two, gig 'em.
Oh, man, I just got out of the shower after working out, so I don't have my ring on. That's so sad. But we just beat the hell out of those Tigers, and that's all that matters, really. We're in our own destiny. I have too much hope it could kill me right now. So I'm very excited. Go Aggs. Yeah, I got to rep Coach KJ and the guys over there at Green Hill to them. Great week of Texas high school football. After, you know, week eight or seven and week eight, right? It was kind of like, oh, those are the top weeks. We still had a pretty good week this past week.
Walker, I think this is the latest the Aggies have controlled their own destiny at this point in the season since 1998.
Yes, we are undefeated in district play for the first time since 98.
Dude, you're thinking of private school ball too much. It's conference play.
Oh, God.
District play. This guy loves Texas private school football so much.
The funniest thing is during the game.
I've had a long weekend, okay, guys?
This tells you how much, like, we, like, live, eat, and breathe this stuff. During the game, I don't even – who the is it DJ May? Who's the corner for us?
BJ Mays, yeah.
BJ Mays. So – well, I don't remember if it was me. I think you said it. Like, you're like, oh, Bradley Mays. I was like, Bradley Mays is a receiver for First Baptist in Dallas. I don't even know if you realized you said it, but you said it like in the middle. I was like, no. I was like, who? You're like, DJ. I was like, no, you said Bradley. But that's kind of a microcosm of me and Walker at probably the biggest A&M football game that we've had since we've been alive. And we're still thinking of Texas private school football. It's kind of how it goes. Ryan Schroeder, I hope it's been a fantastic week up in Oklahoma City. From the way y'all's basketball team is performing, it appears that it has been. How have you been? Your thoughts on the slate?
Yeah, I had a busy Friday night, but overall, still got to join the space, got to hang out. Thank y'all to everyone that's been coming to the spaces, man. Those things have been incredible. It is like actually the most fun thing ever. I've been relating them to like you know, parents will understand this, but like post game radio shows back in the day in small towns where like someone would be on the radio show and talking about the games and stuff, like it really feels like that. So that's a lot of fun. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, Thunder are 3-0 at the moment, which has been kind of fun. It's been kind of cool to live through that. But overall, TXPS has still been going strong, and I'm glad we were getting to record in between my game days. So it's good.
Yeah. I know we're going to keep finding time to slot them in. To echo Ryan's point, number one, again, thank you to everyone that joins the space. To fire that up and see sometimes like 50 people in there, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why y'all listen to us, but we're thankful that you do. And that space this last Friday night was the most fun one I've ever had. It always seems to be the most fun whenever I'm driving back from Dallas to College Station because I have nothing else to do except ramble. We talked – I went back and listened the next day. We talked ball for about 45 minutes, and then the last 50 minutes was just anything we could think of. Some of it was like trends. We have to start doing this, by the way, on the spaces. Trends that are becoming new since we've left – in high school football and what we think on them. I think the old man yells at cloud segment. Ooh,
that might be a good,
super hard.
I like that. Like, or like have it as a Mount Rushmore, like kind of thing. Either way, I really like that. That's a good idea.
I think so. We're going to continue on with that. But I will say real quick, the fact that we still had like 25 people listen through that entire like ramble segment. It's awesome. I'm tickled to death to see it.
Yeah. Shout out to Woody West for saying it when they were driving back from Shiner. He was like, we had to drive the whole way back and he was listening to us. So shout out to him. Very cool guy. I have a question because it is about Twitter. And There's a we all love and know and love No Context, but there's another No Context out there named No Context TXPS German. Do you, as you know, the you are friends with T No Context, right, Wes?
I am.
Do you know how this erupted for the lore that is being built before our very eyes? Like, any
Well,
thoughts?
you see, I mean, we're in the we dive into our analytics from time to time. You know, we have a pretty
Yeah.
sizable German audience, you know, it's Garmisch-Partenkirchen is, I think there's a small concentration of people that follow us. And I don't know, I think they just want they're really big fans of they like his straightforward style, and they need it translated. Google Translate's not fast enough. You see, No Context German is translating these tweets in real time, and now he's starting to get kind of chippy with regular No Context. So I don't know. I try to stay out of that. I'm friends with No Context, but
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
not here to defend his every move. So
No,
we'll
that
see.
was I'm so excited for that journey to happen because we have the St. John's burners.
Oh my
We have No
gosh.
Context burners. The burner family is just going to grow and grow. At one point, and this is down the line, we're going to get all the school Barstool accounts, and we're going to bring them together. I don't know. We're going to have a whole giant burner family out there, man. It's going to be awesome.
I have to tell y'all this. There's a kid, well, I super, super random. If he somehow watches this, that'd be hilarious. I went to, obviously I was at Oklahoma State and stuff like that. One night I'm just hanging out with this other friend group that I'm not really close with. And this guy, his name's Emilio, he ran the McKinney Christian Barstool account when he was at McKinney Christian. He's at like this party, whatever that we're at. And he goes, Ryan from TXPS? He goes, I ran the McKinney Christian Barstool account. And I was like, oh my goodness, Emilio. And now I hang out with this guy like every time I go back. He's like a part of our friend group. I was like, dude, that's so random. But yeah,
Oh
Emilio.
man, that is
Barstool accounts
fantastic.
everything. They're
So,
awesome.
in that same vein, I feel awful because I can't remember the kid's name, but I was in line waiting for the A&M game. And at first, I see my buddy Jackson Jordan from Tyler, and I like dap him up and we're talking. And all of a sudden, this kid's like, he's a private school football. I was like, not the account, but yes, TXP is like Wes. I was like, yes. And like, we talk. It always makes me feel like kind
Yeah.
of important when like we get recognized in public. We
Oh, it's
should be getting
funny.
recognized, but it's always fun. So shout out to the St. Thomas alums that I got to speak with. Sorry you're an LSU fan. That kind of stunk that night. But all in all, yeah, really fun time in the burner verse. But that being said, let us get into why we are actually here to recap some private school football, starting with the TXPS Media scoreboard that no matter how busy Ryan seems to be, always seems to get done. As always, the top five games in the left-hand column we will save for further review here in a second. We will start with Bishop Lynch beating Trinity Christian Addison 66 to 33. A good win for Lynch, who, is playing in a really, really hard district. We'll get into playoffs. And, whenever these northern lower seeded teams get into the playoffs, they always seem to beat some of the higher seeded southern teams. So we'll see if that carries forward. Shout out to Bishop Lynch.
Antonian Prep beats Houston St. Pius 70 to 42. 70, that is a lot of points by Rogan Parson and company. Shout out to them. I am more intrigued by the 42 points by St. Pius. Was this just a type of game where no defense, all offense, or what? I'm so confused by that one. That's a lot of points in a big game that I didn't see coming. But hey, shout out to Antonian. Whenever you can put up 70, that's a monumental game.
TCS Lubbock falls to Grapevine Faith 35 to 28. TCS Lubbock, loses their first two district slates to Fourth Christian and All Saints, and then falls to the hands of Grapevine Faith in a close one. Grapevine Faith on the other on the same end as well, losing to All Saints, losing to Southwest Christian. Overall, two teams. This is just not the TCS Lubbock of the past. This is not the Marcus Ramon Edwards TCS Lubbock that we used to know from 2 years ago. And Grapevine Faith picks up a win when in reality it doesn't look good coming up with Midland and Fort Worth Christian. So definitely needed a win here if to get one. If that secures them a spot in the playoffs, I don't know. We'll talk about it in a second.
Tomball Christian Homeschool beats Brook Hill 34 to 10 and continues
Yeah.
a war path for a homeschool team like we have not seen in recent memory. I would like to say I, and along with the three other people or two other people on this program, no ball because we all said this would happen. That's no disrespect to Brook Hill. It's just that's how good Tomball Christian Homeschool is. And by that line, it means they would beat Grace as well, which makes me sad to say out loud. But shout out to Tomball Christian Homeschool.
Yeah, absolutely. Going on to the next game, Austin Brentwood beats Bishop Dunn 47-13. Really bad year for Bishop Dunn this year. Just not a lot going for them. And Brentwood slowly becoming like a pretty solid team in Taps Division Two, District Two, where they're not going to be a Regents of the Year, but they've been competing. And shout out to them.
In the Battle of the St. Joseph's, Victoria St. Joseph's falls to Brownsville St. Joseph of a score of 50-7. Brownsville St. Joseph having a sneaky 7-1 season. A sneaky 7-1 season. Their only loss being to Regents at the moment, which is technically a non-district game. They have a potential to go win out their whole district against San Antonio Christian and St. Anthony's. And with a score like that, with your first district game against Victoria St. Joseph, it's a great start.
If I had a nickel for every time that Brownsville St. Joe's won a sneaky 7-1, I'd have a private jet and would not be on this program. Fort Bend Christian beats Lutheran South 31-24. Speaking of sneaky, Fort Bend Christian now 3-0 in district with a big matchup against Second Baptist looming on the horizon. Talking to some people associated with Fort Bend Christian, but not playing for them, they're a little bit tentative about that game. We will see crazy things happen. Shout out to the Eagles for the so far undefeated slate.
Absolutely. Ryan, can you take this one so I can talk about the Lubbock Christian game that I went to?
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. What's called? Second Baptist defeats Cypress Christian 49-0. Second Baptist rolling their way through their district like we thought they would. Cypress Christian really falling at the hands with injury with what's his name? Injury or playing or
John
is
Kelly? No
John
idea. I
Kelly.
think he's
Okay.
playing, but.
So I know Maximus Supley was playing because he wasn't against John Cooper when I saw him like 3 weeks ago. But I tried to look at some film. I think he was not playing in this one.
Okay.
I don't I'm not gonna
Well,
100% me, but I
hey,
don't think so.
with 0 points on the board, that makes sense for Cypress Christian. So 49-0 for Second Baptist.
All right. And moving on to this one. This was a game where I was coming up to DFW, crazy weekend. I won't get into it, but like I was just trying to find a game and I saw this game where it was between I'm gonna talk a little bit more. Apologies. But I went up to this game because we haven't seen either of these teams. I'm excited to go. We haven't seen Welker Horn because, West Texas. And this turned out to be a great one, man, where Lubbock Christian, the favored team in this one, didn't have a really good game until the second half where Covenant Christian came out swinging. I don't really know the stats on the top of my head, but they looked really good. Really, really good. Looking around, Jason Fleming for Covenant Christian was really, really impressive. The 26 quarterback, I believe. Looking around, I think this is one of his first couple of years of just playing football. Yeah, first year playing varsity ball and haven't played ball the previous 2 years. He's 6'2" quarterback. He throws really well. This was also a game without co a couple of star players on both sides, where Cooper Carthel and another big time weapon for Lubbock Christian was not playing on the other side. For Covenant Christian, Coral Buckhalter Jr. was not playing as long with Enel Etta's little brother, India, Indy Etta. I don't know how to say his name. I apologize. But two big players for them, a couple other guys. So they were without five starters, I think. I think Lubbock was without two or three. So in a game like that, you would think Lubbock Christian has the advantage. But I mean, this was a back and forth game. Covenant Christian came out swinging. They were on top of it. It looked like their game was it was their game to lose. And then kind of the last two drives of this game, Welker Horn, man, he was phenomenal. He's a true he's a, there's a reason why he's going to Trinity to follow his brother, but he could go even bigger than D3, even though, Trinity's a great program. Great program at D3 this year. But truly, what a player. We don't get to see him often, but when watching him, you realize why Lubbock Christian was so good with him the past 2 years, even when he was hurt. Those first couple games were really good with him. A couple of guys I want to shout out. Jason Fleming, the 26 guy for Covenant, was really impressive. Max McElhaney, the wide receiver, the 26 wide receiver, was good. AJ Guerrera, Grant Cruz, Stone Cruz was another guy for Covenant Christian. On the other side, Welker Horn, Keaton Lee, Barrett Lee, and I don't remember his name, but the 6'2" corner on the outside, number 18, he was also really impressive. Yeah, one of the other guys I want to talk about is an underclassman prospect, 27 offensive defensive lineman for Covenant, Gabe Guerrero, was very impressive tonight. That night, he's 6'2"-ish, And he has the athleticism to be something at the next level. So I'm really excited. But really good game, really great atmosphere at Covenant. I was really happy to be out there and see these two teams. But yeah, really good game.
Moving on, Mercy Culture falls to Sacred Heart 21-16. Close game. Both of these teams have struggled up to this point in the season. Both good programs. You'd assume they get it figured out, but a good win for Sacred Heart nonetheless.
Brazos Christian beat Shiner St. Paul 36-6. As we know, this is not the Shiner of old. They do not have a Zach Johnson on there. They don't have a Noah Boker on that team. Boedeker?
Boedeker.
Boedeker.
Boedeker, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have those guys on this team anymore, but Sam Perez is not enough. And yeah, probably you'll see Waverly West talk about this in a couple minutes.
Yeah, shout out to Nate Boker, all-time TXPS interview. That was fantastic. Walker, I mean, Ryan,
Bro.
next game.
Yeah, Kincaid defeats John Cooper 39-7. I think one time I said on a Gunter play-by-play call, I thought Kincaid was going to be the next best team in SBC 4A, and I think I was right after looking at their whole schedule. It concludes this week with St. John's, but another outstanding win for Kincaid.
St. John's best Episcopal School Dallas 41-14. You would honestly expect ESD to keep this a little bit closer. All that to say is the fact neither of these teams is going to be in a postseason format in 4A is criminal, and we will get that change if it's the last thing we do on this program.
Absolutely. Retweet. Country Day beats Oak Ridge 26-8 in this one. Country Day is slowly becoming they've always been like the middle of the pack SBC 3A team, beating teams that you kind of didn't think, and then sometimes losing to the top teams. But another good win for them in SBC 3A.
Argyle Liberty defeats Nolan Catholic 64-0. I'm pretty sure if the line was 60, I probably would have still taken it and I would have been right. So that's all I got to say. Don't bet on private school football.
Central Catholic destroys San Antonio TMI 62-0. You know, even falling to Holy Cross, you can't really just call that a D3 team. That's a team that beat a lot of teams in Division One. Central Catholic still having a good season. We'll be interested to see if they can get any momentum in the postseason.
Hopefully Monty Williams brings in some football talent to help Grant Sweeney out in that team, man. That's all I hope for that team. If they're gonna bring in some basketball guys, bring me in like a 6'1", 6'2" guard that can also play receiver for him. That's all I hope
See if
for.
Braden Fowler has any
They're
eligibility
not.
left.
Yeah, they're not allowed to play football. They're not allowed to play football. They only allowed to play basketball. Off-season workouts. We're working out 24/7.
Dude, but seriously, help that guy. St. Michael's beats St. Dominic Savio 48-20. Interesting that Dominic scores 20 in this matchup. Kind of scares me for kind of St. Mike's hype that I have. But St. Mike's continues to win in district. They have a monumental matchup this week against St. Thomas that I'm really excited about.
If you couldn't have guessed it, Dallas Christian best Dallas Covenant 24-13, which is closer than you would have thought by a crazy margin of close, I would say. Obviously they still won by double digit amount of points, still won by two touchdowns, but crazy to think about in some capacity. For those who don't know, Dallas Christian hasn't been really tested this year when it comes to district. They never are. But their losses include Prestonwood and Cornerstone this year. We'll be interested to see how they fit in Division Two,
Absolutely, and we will break down
Division
that
Three,
Division
Division Three,
three that
Division Three,
Division
Three.
three bracket here shortly. Moving into the last game to recap, and I out of respect, I won't pass this to Walker. Fort Worth Christian beats SCS 27-13, which honestly is a good showing by
Not bad.
SCS. Fort Worth Christian has a lot of talent this year. They haven't put it together when they
Not bad.
needed to, but they obviously have a lot more firepower than SCS. SCS will still make their way into the playoffs, most likely a quick exit for them, but as Walker and I discussed, SCS and Grace are kind of back on the same playing field, like they were not when we started this program, because SCS destroyed Grace in the playoffs. But yeah, kind of a sad time to be alive for SCS and Grace alums. But
I want to say one point, one sentence. That Dallas Christian win, a close win, should scare them a little bit with teams like Lubbock Christian and Covenant Christian looking better than we all thought. That's all I will say.
I agree with that. With that being said, before we get into the playoff brackets, we have some words from our interns. Here is Minute with the Interns.
Hello everyone, I'm Bradley Hammett with Texas Private School Media, and I'm here to recap the Fort Bend Christian Academy and Lutheran South game this past Friday. So this Friday, Lutheran South went out to Sugar Land to face off against the Fort Bend Christian Academy Eagles. And every matchup that these two teams play is very chippy, as these two rival teams face off in every sport and it gets brutal. This time, the Fort Bend Eagles took it 31-24 in a very close match. Lutheran South was able to get back into this game thanks to Braden Robinson, who had 172 yards receiving, even though he did go down with injury. Great day from Braden Robinson. But Cole Whitten and the FBCA Eagles end up taking this one in the end, where the defense was able to stop Lutheran South on all fronts. And the Eagles now move to 4-4 on a three-game win streak, 3-0 in district play. They will go to face Second Baptist Eagles, another very good rivalry game, where the winner will be on top of Taps Division II.
Hi everyone, it's Jacob Bermudez, and this week I'll be recapping Holy Cross's shutout win versus John Paul II.
On Friday night, Holy Cross of San Antonio and John Paul II Shirts both traveled to Steele High School to face off in a district matchup. Senior Marco Gomez scored first off a 39-yard catch from Gabby Alvarado. Senior Nick Hall would then take a pass and crawl into the end zone to extend the Knights' lead to 14-0. Sophomore running back Austin Abrego would take off on a 15-yard touchdown run to push the lead, and the final score of the half came from senior Gibby Alvarado when he used his legs to take off 62 yards to the house. And it would be two touchdowns from sophomore AJ Aguilla and another touchdown from Marco Gomez that brought the Knights' score to 49 to the Guardians' 0. Holy Cross now stands at 9-0, 4-0 in their district, and with Friday's win has officially clinched their third straight Taps Division III district title. The Knights will now rest Week 10 and come back in Week 11 for their final game of the regular season versus Hill Country Christian of Austin.
Hi everyone, this is Waverly West for Texas Private School Media. This week in private school football, Brazos Christian traveled to Shiner St. Paul in a Taps Division IV District 2 matchup. Brazos Christian defense allowed no points in the first half, and Brazos Christian's first half touchdowns came from two for Truett Godike, one for Cooper Murr, and one for the kicker Samuel Siebel in the form of a field goal. Brazos Christian's defense allowed their only 6 points of the game in the second half, and Brazos Christian's second half touchdowns came by means of Jackson Caffey and Cooper Murr. With this win, that was 36-6 in favor of Brazos Christian School, Brazos Christian is now 8-0 on the season and 3-0 in district. Next week, Brazos Christian travels to take on Conroe Covenant away, while Shiner St. Paul will take on Rose Hill Christian. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you, interns, for your fantastic contributions. We really have a great cast of characters providing supporting work. They work their tails off. Go and follow all their analysis if you haven't already. Moving on, we will now start to do something that I think is very fun, is start to look at the playoff brackets for each of the respective divisions in TAPS. We're not going to do it for SBC because there's a two-team playoff, which is the state championship game. But Walker, I've got the brackets pulled up. Let's start with Division One. Really, really nice color-coded graphics by Walker here. Walker, what are you looking at? Because we know, I'll say in Division One, the big talk is we know it's going to be, you know, Parrish, Liberty, and Prestonwood late. But yeah, how do you see the road kind of evolving here?
Yeah, this is, you know, a lot of these still are not set in stone. There's some matchups like late district matchups that are going to solidify some of the last spots. But this is for the teams that want to get kind of a projection, right? We looked at the TAPS. We got it straight from TAPS and then filled in your records and all of that. So they'll have it on the screen, hopefully. I should have it on the screen so you can kind of look and see what we're kind of thinking. But the big thing, right, is where Liberty Christian gets the monumental bye right now in TAPS Division One in the top. That, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, for them, but they do get the bye. The interesting thing is, though, is on the south, right? Because Antonian is undefeated in the district so far and they beat St. Thomas, they have the bye as well in the bottom part of the bracket, which is huge for them. Where St. Thomas now, who we have in that second spot, is on the Liberty side, which is, you know, rough day for them, right? Because of how the district is set up or playoffs are set up, Plano Prestonwood and Parish Episcopal will meet in the second round, which is second round, which is insane. I'm very intrigued to see how that will pan out. We found out news that Independent El Paso Cathedral, if you don't get that second spot, you know, Houston St. Thomas gets the bye on the other side for being second place. Plano Prestonwood in that second spot does not get the bye this year, which is very interesting. But they add in El Paso Cathedral, which I don't think they'll make them drive all the way to Plano. There's probably going to be a neutral site. If I had to guess, Abilene ACU's stadium, if I had to guess, just on the top of my head. But yeah.
One thing I was going to say is there have been independent. I remember Independence in basketball, and they used to have to come to our place. That's all I will say that. Like we played in Independent in volleyball, I think, and in right. basketball, and they both had to come to Legacy from where they were. So
yeah,
maybe they have to go to Plano.
Maybe I think that would be it would be that or a neutral site, which Abilene is not a terrible drive from Plano. So I could see them just saying, all right, you're coming from El Paso. We'll meet in Abilene. You know what I mean?
But the two seed shouldn't have to do that.
I agree.
It should be a home.
I
game.
Agree. I think it should be. I absolutely agree.
I thought all first round was home, was a home match, a home game anyways.
I don't know what to tell you.
This isn't a bye for Prestonwood's ridiculous.
Insane. Because this is the type of game we don't know anything about El Paso Cathedral. It's always a random one. They always lose right. massively when they're ever involved. But
exactly. Like, why does the South get a bye and the North doesn't get a bye? And why is that added in that the North gets like has was that right. always in there that the North had to play that, or was that added in? Make the South play that team as well, and also make the South play the team that's closer to them. El Paso's closer to Houston St. Thomas than it is Prestonwood, right?
Probably because you would just do 10 right yeah. all the way there,
like,
right?
I mean,
so
that didn't make any sense.
I don't know, man. I think it's so interesting. Supposedly, this was added recently. We got alerted
that's
to this
crazy.
In the past week or so.
That's crazy.
Just crazy. One last thing I'll say. There's a couple interesting matchups. Bishop Lynch versus Concordia Lutheran, the 4-5 matchup on the top. Very interesting. Yes, Wes?
El Paso Cathedral lost to Oak Ridge 44-0. If they make Prestonwood drive out to Abilene for this game, we should arrest everyone involved with the scheduling of this. I mean, I say that it's not Abilene's not that bad, but if we're not giving a home game to a team that is playing a team that shouldn't be in the playoffs, it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm sure there's a reason that people smarter than me came up with, but a team that lost 44-0 to Oak Ridge shouldn't be in the playoffs. Well,
then that's a game where you just start the twos and you just let them, it's a JV game. That's basically what it has to be then.
My only question is this, sorry, this is the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
I wonder if neutral sites is a thing when North and South teams play against each other, because maybe that is, but when D2 back in the day, because in D2, when it was full North versus full South, you just hosted teams the first round. Like, the higher seed
right.
hosted teams. But I guess, yeah, you probably have a point here. If it is North versus South-esque, neutral sites would make more sense, I guess. But
I mean, I think, like, it says on here, higher seed, neutral is the same seed. So, like, that's very
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
I think last year, right, Houston St. Thomas, Plano Prestonwood in the semis had to drive down to Houston and play that game in Houston. So it's very interesting. Taps is always weird. But then games like Central Catholic versus Bishop Lynch, right, Wes, was in the middle of Giddings or something like that for you? Like,
that was Central Catholic. Bishop Lynch was just south of south of Waco.
Okay, then that makes way more sense. But it's just always random. And so whatever, not that we can't do anything about that. But yeah, Bishop Lynch Concordia Lutheran is definitely a toss up. That's a thing where both times have pieces, but you would always kind of lean the North team, right? It's just recent years, but Concordia has some dudes, right? Austin St. Michael's versus one of the North teams of TC Addison Nolan. I would lean St. Michael's. I don't know that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Last thing, TC Addison Nolan Catholic after. For that last game of the season, battle for who gets in playoffs, which in the past 5 years or whatever, or past four-ish, every team in the North always was just in playoffs. It didn't really matter. This is the first year that at least one team does not make it, which is interesting. I'll leave it with this, is Frisco Legacy has to play Central Catholic round one. And that's lucky for them. Losing to Bishop Lynch earlier in the season puts them on the opposite side of Liberty and the opposite side of St. Thomas, which technically gives them an easier path to beat some South schools to make the semifinals, which is interesting. If Frisco Legacy is like that and they are healthy, which Ryan Schroeder, congratulations.
Well, and guess who they would face if Prestonwood takes care of Parrish? They would match up against the team they only lost by a touchdown to?
Yep.
Like, that game, okay. No, love Legacy. That game probably won't be a touchdown score game again, but
right.
would rather be that team than any other team, right? Out of the three
I mean,
of them.
The craziest thing is we're looking at a non-zero chance that Legacy makes the state championship. It's very unlikely But it's a non-zero chance.
Right. So if you want to, for the last couple things, the semifinals should be, if everyone plays up to their potential, right, it would be probably Liberty Christian versus, I would guess, Houston St. Thomas, if y'all agree with me there, in the one side. And on the other side, it would probably, Prestonwood would beat Parrish again. That game will be a toss-up, but whoever wins that will play Antonian slash Frisco Legacy. I'll lean Antonian now for the other semifinal game. So we could have another rematch of the trilogy in certain way in the state championship again.
I don't like the semis. Can I just be honest? I don't like that. Like, I think I want Prestonwood Parish to be in a semifinal matchup. I mean, they have to, at least they're playing each other, I guess, right?
Like, yeah.
At least
they're
playing each other. Yeah, but it would hard to justify getting a 3 seed to the semifinals. I understand from a pure bracketology standpoint, but I agree. It feels robbed. It feels like a little bit of robbery to put a Southern Sacrificial Lamb in there instead of Parrish or Prestonwood. But, you know, it's what we have to go with.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't have anything else, you want to just move on to D2 then?
Yeah. Let's go.
So D2 is a little bit interesting where it just looks beautiful because there's a true no buys. You play your first round. Everyone plays their first round, which because it's the best, arguably always the best division of private school. So the interesting thing, there's some good things. Fort Worth All Saints gets the number one seed on the other side. Second Baptist gets the number one seed on the other side. Regents gets the number one seed. And then right now, Brownsville St. Joseph gets the number one seed. I think that's basically how it panned out. Some interesting games. Wes, you're probably going to have to make the drive up to Midland, as Grace Community in that third spot probably will have to make the drive up to Midland because they are the second spot. I'm so sorry. Hey, it doesn't get better for me. We're in my – if Southwest Christian beats TCS Lubbock, which if transitive property works, they should, SES would make the playoffs and get that fourth spot, and we would run into the buzzsaw that is Austin Regents. So not much of a reward if it is, but – it would be good for the team to get back to playoffs. Brentwood Brook Hill is the battle for that last spot in division district 2. I could see that going either way. I really don't know. I truly don't know. That would be a fun game, but that will knock out Grace Prep, either Brentwood or Brook Hill, and Bishop Dunn. So that would be interesting to see. Not many other games in the top, in the bottom. This is where it gets interesting. There's a thing for the fourth spot or fifth spot, because how the brackets work, there's only 4 teams in division in district 3 and 5 teams in district 4. So I don't know what most WC points, that's what it, whatever Matt Taps says, is between them. I don't know if that's, you know, district points. Wow, that usually WC means wild card, but that means no sense in this scenario. But it will be either the fourth place team, which I'm going to guess is St. Anthony out of San Antonio, or Cypress slash Kelly Catholic in the other side, which truly, I don't think any of that matters against Second Baptist, but it will be one of those 3 teams. But yeah, go.
I was going to say, I like how you put Southwest Christian already in against Regents. You're kind of just like, even though y'all have everybody else has a slash in between games that could happen, Southwest Christian is already plugged in there.
The question is, bracketology is not, I'm not good enough, because if TCS Lubbock beats SES, then we've beaten Faith. Faith's beaten TCS Lubbock, and TCS Lubbock's beaten SES, which we would all have 1 win in district. Therefore, I don't know who would get in. I guess it would go down to point differential
or point scored.
Right.
Point
differential or point scored. I think all of them are pretty like 1-score games. So that's where it gets interesting. So I'm just putting it in there for the hope that transitive property works. But
okay. The one game I think is crazy, which is insane. I know y'all aren't as high on LSA anymore, but LSA could beat Brownsville St. Joseph first.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I think Brownsville always does this thing, and I always love the Bloodhounds down there in Brownsville, but they always do this thing where they look really good in district, and you have a couple games, and you're like, okay, they can beat a round one team, and then they lose like 30 to nothing, and you're like, I don't get it. This happens every year. Last year was the first year that I think they actually won out of first round, and I was like, okay, maybe. I don't know how they do, bro. I truly don't. I think Lutheran South wins that game if I had to pick it right now.
I've seen that movie one too many times. That's the game that ignited Fort Bend's title run in 2022. But I don't know. I like St. Joseph a lot as a regular season team, and maybe 3 years ago, I would have bought into the hype, but I've seen this play out over and over and over again. If it's not LSA, they're going to lose to Woodlands Christian second round.
And that's the other interesting part is the Victoria St. Joseph San Antonio Christian. They get to there. If Fort Bend Christian plays Second Baptist, and then I think Woodlands Christian plays Fort Bend for the end of year, the 2 and 3 could switch, but we're gonna solidify Woodlands Christian right now in 2. There is if Fort Bend Christian is legit and they're actually truly 3-0 and like they've turned it around. Second Baptist, that must suck facing them in the second round. That's rough.
Final thing I'll say is just I think these are the four teams that are projected right now are I like it. I like those four teams. I think those are the four. I think those
I
are
agree.
truly the four away from everybody else in the whole thing, and I like that those solidified themselves.
Yep.
That's an incredible Final Four. All Saints and Regents in the north, TWCA and Second Baptist in the south. There's upset potential on both sides. It's great. If I got like a Regents TWCA state championship game, that'd be insane. That'd be
It would
really
be
cool.
insane. It would be
Be insane.
think about it is I think Second Baptist truly they underestimated TWCA in that last game, right? I truly agree with that. I don't think they went into it with a like a clear mind, being like, this is a really good team. I don't think it would, I want to say it won't be close next time, but I do think Woodlands Christian is legit, and I think he will be another close game. And you never know in playoffs what could happen.
No, you do not. Let us move on to Division Three, where we will move a little more quickly because there's basically three teams we're talking about in this bracket.
There's some fancy crazy stuff where Hill Country could have a run. Covenant Christian is on a good side of a bracket where they could make a run. I don't know how good Dallas Covenant that quarterfinal matchup would actually be pretty solid. Lake Country, like that's the thing. The North D3 teams, we don't really know how they compare to the Hill Countries of the world. We know the not trying to be rude, but like the Bernie Geneva School Bernie's down are not great teams. Holy Cross has shown that, right? So is Covenant Christian legit enough to where they can make a run to the semifinals? Is Pantego legit? Is New Braunfels legit enough? We don't like there's a lot of teams in the D1, District 1 that could make a run to the semifinals, but and you can see it on the screen with where people will line up, but it really comes down to truly three teams for us, right? Maybe four. Is the semifinals teams we have. Lubbock Christian should get a walk to the semifinals. Holy Cross should easily walk to the semifinals. Dallas Christian should easily walk to the semifinals. And the battle would be Dallas Covenant versus Covenant Christian, which I think the game has already been played.
They've already played. They've already
Which
played.
do you someone find that for me who won that
Yeah.
game?
I'm pretty sure Colleyville did, if I remember off the top of my head. Hold on.
But that's where it gets interesting, where I don't think Covenant Christian wins that game over Holy Cross. So Holy Cross, Dallas Covenant won.
That was 13-7.
Okay, so still a close one. They could go either way. So I think Holy Cross is a kind of a lock, like we've said all year for the finals. That Lubbock Christian Dallas Christian game should scare them. I absolutely like they have the Syracuse
Especially for a
commit.
DC team that has a weak secondary. And that's what even people among DC weakness of their team is their secondary against a Welker Horn and a Lee. I mean, I think there's a good chance they get picked off there. There's a piece of me that wants to say that Lubbock Christian would be the favorite in that game. We know Holy Cross, as it stands now, is far and away, I would say, the favorite to win Division Three. I think there's a solid chance for the first time in a long time we don't see DC in a state championship game.
Agreed. I think it's the thing about Dallas Christian. I've never seen them, but they have height, which it really surprised me. They have dudes that are 6'2 on Lubbock Christian, like true dudes. They have a 6'3 corner that ran really well with them, and I was really impressed with the guy. Like they have pieces to really compete, and I don't know how Dallas Christian looks if they look like a true D3 team, or they have pieces. They have the Syracuse commit, they have big guys on the offensive line, they have Titus
Secondary
Mews.
small.
I think they got it. This is going to be a game. And I hope Dallas Christian goes into that being like, oh, we're the Dallas Christian of old. Because if they do that, you might be getting home packing. You know what I mean? So.
It's the first time in such a long time we've talked about DC as like a true underdog, maybe in a playoff bracket. It's crazy to see how the times do change. Let us move on to the final bracket. We're going to break down the Division Four bracket, where I think there are two clear contenders, maybe a third in the form of a team from Central Texas.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I'll keep it with this. You see it on the screen of how it is. The Fort Worth Temple game versus the Sacred Heart game gets kind of that final spot of what we don't think in that bracket. So be looking out for that for the D4 fans out there. The interesting thing is because of how it's set up, because half these teams get byes first round, right? Because of just how many less teams there are in D4. They switched where the North and the South second place teams are on the other side. So Live Oak is on the Brazos Christian side, and Central Texas is on the First Baptist side, which is just funky, right? But those are going to be semifinal teams. So Brazos Christian got over the, ground and pound Central Texas team that will run down your throat, where against a team like Live Oak, where I have no idea what they are. I truly don't. We have no idea what they truly are. And First Baptist, as we saw against Holy Cross, if you run the ball on them and are physical with them, you can't really compete against, like, First Baptist kind of shuns back a little bit. Granted, I don't know if Central Texas Christian has the pieces like Holy Cross does, right? But if you hit them in the mouth and you press them up, that could be a game where it's a little bit more interesting, like the Northland of last year, where Northland shocks them a little bit, where it's a closer game than you expect. Live Oak, I don't know nothing, but and if Live Oak is legit enough to where they could cause havoc, you could see a Waco Live Oak team make the state championship from being a six-man team just like 1 year ago.
That was going to be my point. Like a first year 11-man team's going to make the final four, semifinals or final four in the state championship. I mean, that's crazy. That's
Right.
incredible for a program like that.
Right. And it's little storylines here and there. How good is the South compared to the North? How good is the North compared to the South? Like, those are questions you're going to have to ask and figure out. Like, is it Mercy Culture Prep who have lost a lot of games? Or are they just a better team in the North? You know what I mean? Like, those are questions you're going to have to ask. But I truly think, like we've said all year, I think you see a First Baptist versus Brazos Christian final where we would project and pick right now, probably First Baptist because of the dudes. But like we saw against Holy Cross, it's not always about the dudes. It's about the fight, the determination, and Brazos Christian has a lot of that.
So Definitely so. Go on, Ryan.
my final thing I'll say, we think there's, call it two team. I mean, I'm basically gonna say it's gonna be Dallas First Baptist Brazos. So two teams that were positive that have a chance to win the championship in D4. Two teams that have a chance to win the championship in D3. Probably not three. I'd say two. And then we have four teams to potentially to win in D2, and then three teams to win in D1, you'd say at this point.
It's what we've been saying all year
Yeah.
is parity. It's finally back. I mean, you
Yes,
can
right.
look at spots and be like, Liberty Christian should. Well, even that, I mean, they had really close games
Yeah.
with both Perth and Prestonwood. Division two is a lot deeper than we've seen it. This is the coolest thing about this season is that it's hard to look at a spot and be like, yeah, no questions asked, 100%. I bet my house. I can't say that anymore after a couple of years ago,
Like, think
but.
about it. Like, if I'm not saying St. Thomas can beat Liberty, because I don't think anyone can. But if St. Thomas plays out of their mind and their offense is going, you never know. I think that Austin Regents All Saints matchup is insane. I think that's going to be a ball game. For Woodlands Christian could sneak into the state game. Lubbock Christian could sneak into the state game. Covenant Christian could. Central Texas, Live Oak. There's so many teams this year that can sneak into the title games, and we would be like amazed. Like Wes has said all year, there's truly, I don't think since we've started covering TXPS, there is not more parity ever in Texas private school football until this year. And I'm really excited for it.
It's a beautiful thing to have back. It makes covering the sport much, much more interesting. We will see how that winds down as we get to the stretch. But let us go into recapping the five games of the week from last week, beginning with one I regret to recap is Hyde Park at Grace Community, where Hyde Park, I mean, kind of just dominated Grace 48 to 26. The first points of the game were scored via a deep ball by Crawford Moffitt to J.D. Richards, who caught it at the 25 and dragged a defender in for the score as Hyde Park started off 14-0 after another score. But Elijah Hicks for Grace had an 80-yard kick return touchdown plus a two-point conversion to make it 14-8. After a score by each team, a Hyde Park field goal off of an interception before halftime made it 25-15. By the end of the third quarter, it's 39-15, and that's basically all that she wrote. For Grace, I just wrote Grace, colon, disappointing. I'll be real when the time to be real comes. I had word on decent authority to start the season that I thought Grace was in a good spot. I thought in the trenches they were really solid. You know, the skill players, there's no one like a Grant Turner you can point at, like a Zach Davis. But I was like, without the flashy star power, they can still be a good team. I was wrong. You know, it is what it is. Teams reload and rebuild. It's just kind of hard for me to see a team that's got a bunch of solid core pieces not really materialize. On the flip side, shout out to Hyde Park. It's a really, really good win. Yep. They're going to end up getting the 2 seed in that district, albeit there's a big gap between 1 and 2. They'll most likely exit the playoffs pretty early. But all that to say before I pass it on, good win for Hyde Park. Walker, thoughts? You actually are the only one that picked Hyde Park in this game.
Yeah, when we did it on the pod, I was like, whatever. We remember we were doing that. I truly, behind the back of my mind, I was like, Hyde Park's a solid team. And before the season, we picked them, we picked Grace to go to because of fan bias, right? And I think we were kind of going back and forth on it, and we could have picked the wrong way. I think Hyde Park's a good team. With how Fort Worth Christian somewhat struggling, they could beat Fort Worth Christian in that first round, and it would be kind of scary. I think it'd be interesting, man. I think it would be. I'll give you this though, to make yours, because you doubt me and you want to shake your head. I want you to imagine a world where Simeon Garner and Zach Davis are on this team, where you could run that district. I just want you to think about that. Think about it.
That hurts. Yep. We still wouldn't beat Regents. Say that. But a solid number two team, a team that could go out and probably beat Midland again if we have all those pieces. But, you know, that's fantasy land where I prefer to spend my days instead of the real world. But sadly, we have to come back to reality every now and then. Ryan, any brief thoughts on Hyde Park Grace Community?
Nothing really. I'm sad that I'm picking Tyler Grace Community and they're
letting
me down.
Don't say that.
But you know, you live and you learn never to choose Tyler Grace Community again.
I'm going to ignore the subtle jab there and move on to the next game, which was Houston Christian at Greenhill. A much more interesting game than we anticipated. Houston Christian ends up winning this 15-12, and maybe they shouldn't have. To start the scoring at 7-0, Houston Christian, Mac Barrow had a 5-yard touchdown run. Noah Piper for Greenhill hits a 32-yard field goal to cut it to 7-3. And after a Trey Davis rushing touchdown followed by a missed point after, it is 9-7 Greenhill. With about 7 minutes to go, another 33-yard field goal by Noah Piper makes the game 12-7 Greenhill. And the way that we can piece together the final happening was Houston Christian gets a touchdown and the 2-point conversion, according to sources. And they had the go-ahead touchdown to win the game. Greenhill did. But after a high step celebration before getting into the end zone, the touchdown gets called back and Houston Christian ends up winning the game. That is a horrible way to lose. Whenever you play well enough to win the game, but something trivial has it called against you, especially for a team like Greenhill. It's one of the better stories of the year. 2 seasons removed from a winless season, a chance to secure a SBC for a title berth, and a premature celebration gets it called back. It's just really, really tough based on what we've heard. However, let's go into some deeper analysis, because this really muddies the water for the SBC 3A title game. This secures a title appearance for Houston Christian. They're undefeated in district. They will be playing in the state title game. However, there is most likely going to be a three-way tie between three teams, obviously, for second at 4-2, Fourth Country Day, TVS, and Greenhill. So doing some math, because all these teams have played each other, if all go 4-2, this is how it shakes out. It's off of point differential between three teams. Greenhill is +4, TVS is +2, and Country Day is -6. All three of these teams go 4-2. Green Hill is going to be in the SBC state title game. It's crazy. And that's how I'm assuming that the point differential works, because that's how what Jack Klosek told us. Green Hill still controls their own destiny to the SBC title. Can you imagine a world where Houston Christian and Green Hill rematch, and Green Hill, yet again, two seasons removed from a winless season, wins the SBC title? We're not taking crazy pills. This is reality.
No, that's reality. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And that's what I alluded to off the top of the episode. I'm going to have to go back and fact check this myself, because I don't believe the words I'm saying right now. But
wow.
That is going to be a must-see state title game if it materializes, for very obvious reasons. Walker, again, I'm going to have to do the math on this again, because it'd be very embarrassing if I got this wrong, but I am 99.9% sure this is how it shakes out. How is this even possible?
I truly don't. You, like, remember KJ Williams last year was excited about their first win. Their first win, right? That was a monumental success, with just getting the first win for that team. And now you have a chance to go to the title game. And you would have secured it if one celebration doesn't go your way, right? Like, that's unbelievable. And remember, they started the year, they lost to a couple of these teams, but they had the win over TVS. And that just brings them that's insane, man. I'm so excited for this Green Hill team. Will Black, Bryson Watt, Caden Castillo, there are some dudes, man. And they brought in some guys this year. And, you know, Green Hill is not an easy place to go to school. Like, you gotta be about it. And shout out to those kids, man, for turning around a program and believing in Coach KJ is unbelievable. And just imagine, like, I'm not saying Nolan could have done that this quickly, because Nolan was in such a far hill down because of issues, like, from the previous staff. Like, that is unbelievable by Coach KJ and that staff. Like, that doesn't happen. And that's a testament to the kids buying in that quickly, and to him and his coaching staff.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what I will say really quickly before Ryan starts, this is contingent on Green Hill's got to beat Oak Ridge, which is a very talented team to end the season. So it's interesting. I'm doing the math as we speak. So far, I'm still right. So far, this is still real.
Well, you know what I was about to say? I was about to go to that as well. Green Hill plays Oak Ridge. Fourth Country Day plays St. Andrews. TVS has a bye.
So TVS has to sit and wait.
Yep.
And the score differential between St. Andrews and Country Day doesn't matter, because and I'm putting this on Jack Klosek, because if I'm wrong, it's because I have faulty information, but he stated that the tiebreaker is between the three teams that are tied, differential.
Then the Oak Ridge game doesn't matter either, because they're not in the battle. It's just
but they have to beat Oak Ridge.
Right.
If they lose to Oak Ridge, they're not tied for second, which is a big deal here.
Is there any – I guess there's no way for Country Day to get in, right? It's just they have the same record and they lost, and that is what it is.
Yeah, because Country Day's tied. Country Day's point differential is worse than TVS. So they let me see. Yeah, Country Day's point differential is worse than TVS. So
it's point, just to confirm one more time. Point differential between the teams in question, not point differential between the entire district.
Right. Correct. And even if it if it was between Green Hill and TVS, they would still have the lead, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, because we could go on and make up scenarios for the rest of time, but that's where it stands as of now. Green Hill with a substantial chance to make an SBC title game, and the way they played against Houston Christian, maybe win one. It's not something I expected at all.
Nope.
To be saying SBC is always, whether it's 4A or 3A, it brings out the beautiful insanity that exists beneath the surface in Texas private school football. And it is always a treat to cover. We will get Jack Klosek on shortly to detail what is happening. But that being said, we will move back up to Taps Division II out west to Midland, where the Mustangs hosted All Saints Episcopal. And All Saints ends up winning this game 49-28. In terms of the stats, Gavin Parkhurst goes 10 for 14, 146 yards, 5 touchdowns, a lot of touchdowns off of only 146 yards, 18 carries for 124 yards. Cole Powell Freeman has 93 yards on 22 carries with 2 touchdowns. Kamonte Williams, 2 touchdowns off of 2 receptions, pretty efficient. Connor McCurdy, Jake Powers, and Bryce Anderson all also had a touchdown. Defensively, Jacob Maynard had 8 tackles and a tackle for loss. Dalton Knapp, the absolute freak human being, 7 tackles, 5 solos, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack. In a forced fumble, Blake Robinette had 7 total tackles, 3 tackles for loss. In terms of Midland Christian, Avery Morgan, the quarterback, 10 for 13, 135 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Case Cole, 36 yards on the ground, 52 yards receiving. And Boston Rodriguez goes for 61 yards receiving and a touchdown. The Midland defense had 2 scores, a pick and a scoop and score. But even with that effort, Walker, All Saints establishes dominance in Division 2. Now, this wasn't nearly as stark as the Midland Christian loss to Legacy that we witnessed in Midland last year. So, I mean, 49-28, it's a 21-point game. At the end of the day, 3 touchdowns is a wide margin, but it's not the craziest thing on the planet. Midland's still poised very well to get in the playoffs. They're going to get in the playoffs, obviously, but make some waves. Am I wrong in assuming that?
No. I mean, we have the issue, because Midland is that second spot, they play Regents instead of All Saints. So they might have their better chance versus Regents. But like I said on the episode, I thought All Saints was going to win this by 3 scores and more, and they did. And, you know, if 2 defensive touchdowns don't go their way, this could be a worse game for Midland. I don't ever think All Saints didn't have control of this game. I just think they, you know, had some luck on their side, scored some defensive points, and this is a closer game than it probably should be.
Absolutely. So, Ryan Schroeder, thoughts on the contest out west?
So, Gavin Parkhurst is Jared Goff. For those who don't know, Jared Goff only threw for 85 passing yards this week, and they won 54-14. The Lions did. And Jared Goff, 85 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Gavin Parkhurst, 146 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. Like, it's hilarious that, you know, we give a lot of love to the main guys on, you know, the All Saints squad. And obviously they let up 28 points in the defense, but All Saints is good on all ends. Right. And I think it proves that, whether that be the run game with, you know, whoever on that side, you know, or whether it be the defensive stout of All Saints, they're really a full team. And hence why they're undefeated with some great wins this season. You know, people aren't forgetting this, but I guess some people on the outside looking in are forgetting this. Started the year off against wins against Parrish and Prestonwood. Like, All Saints on paper is like the second best team or third best team in all private school from that head-to-head matchups alone, right? It'd be Liberty and then them or Kincaid, basically, is kind of how you look at it at the moment, which is crazy to think about, because All Saints really is just running through teams. And yes, we're calling 21 points a close game, but at the end of the day, it's like All Saints is All Saints, and they drove out to Midland, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Yeah, that it is. I'm glad you brought that up. It is an underrated storyline that All Saints is legitimately a top 2, maybe top 3 team in all Texas private school football. We will see how they defend that claim with the playoffs approaching here shortly. But let us move up one more rung to a game that Walker got to cover live, Concordia at St. Thomas. I'll read off some stats, Walker, and then you can get into the analysis of the game. Roy Thomas Jenkins went 9 for 17 with 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. Senior tight end Oliver Labuya. Yeah, I said that without even reading the pronunciation guide. 2 receptions for 65 yards and 2 touchdowns. Nate Tidwell, the stud junior wide receiver, had 1 catch for 1 touchdown. Junior linebacker Liam McCarthy had 15 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. Senior Cooper Davis and John Carr combined for 17 total tackles, 3 tackles for loss. Junior defensive lineman Obinna Ume had 3 tackles, a tackle for loss, and 7 quarterback hurries. There were also 2 picks made by junior Jacob Quinlan and senior Blake Coogan. So, Walker, St. Thomas beats Concordia 27-9. Seems like even more of a dominant defensive effort by St. Thomas, who has been known more for their offense in recent memory. A good win, even though we had said previously that we thought Concordia could own this district. However, it was proven to be incorrect. Your thoughts from the man on the ground?
Yeah, no, it was really good. There was TV time, was it on TV? So there were TV timeouts that irked me, but it is what it is. It was awesome. Good for the kids. Yeah, St. Thomas kind of found their stride, and defensively, they look a lot better than at the beginning of the season, right? And then the craziness that happened last week against Santonian. I think, offensively, Roy Thomas just has a great receiving core. And Nate Tibwell, Logan Brantine, and Derek Stevenson. You combine that with Oliver Labuya, who had a great night, had two touchdowns, right? And dude, you should see the touchdowns both times. They just couldn't tackle him. Like it was, they were at like the 10-yard line both times, and he would just carry his dudes into the end zone because no one could tackle him. And that's a good weapon to have. I really like the linebacking core of McCarthy, Davis, and Carr. It was told me that McCarthy kind of moved inside for this game. And man, with 15 tackles, it looks like he found his stride, man. I like him on the inside, the 26 guys, Cooper Davis and John Carr. Cooper's more inside, but John Carr was the guy, the outside linebacker last year for the state champion defense, state championship defense. And yeah, I want to give a little shout out to Obinna Ume. That was a kid I saw as a freshman, and I was like, this kid has something. He was already 6'3", looks the part, and you're like, okay, he's got something. His older brother is playing. It was playing collegiate football, so he has the bloodline. He has the pedigree. Like you have everything you need. Halfway through the season last year against the Regents game, he breaks his ankle or something along those lines, is out for half the year, and so he really didn't get to really dominate as he could have. This year, you see it, man. I'm so glad that I kind of you know ball type of moment where Obina is just dominating. And offensive line for Concordia is not bad, but they made Obinna Ume look phenomenal. I think Tanner Huckfeldt didn't have a terrible game, to be honest. I just think Obinna Ume made him run for his life all game long. He couldn't get the sack on the night. He only had three tackles to tackle for loss, but he had seven quarterback hurries in this game. He made Huckfeldt run, man. And so Huckfeldt was never able to get comfortable. And that kind of resulted for their offense not really being productive. And there were times there they were on the end and on the goal line, they couldn't result in points. Like it was just not Concordia's night. Overall, I think this St. Thomas team is good. I'm really excited about this team. I think they're kind of finding their stride, and I'm excited to see how they do in like the rest of the way. I think this St. Michael's game this upcoming week is a good test for them. Once they kind of find their dudes, like Nate Tibwell's a guy, they found their tight end this week. They find Logan Brantine a lot. When they find Derek Stevenson too, Wes, he runs a 4.29. Like this kid is fast, and they haven't really found that true connection yet. So when they get all these receivers on board, it's gonna look scary. And I hope it's sooner than later. I like this team. DeMarcus Baptiste, Jake Gilsellin on the offensive line looks good. They have dudes. On Concordia's side, man, after starting 6-0, it's treading downhill, which is rough for them. I think they're a good team. It's just they're running into some good competition, man, and it's hard for them. It's just hard. You know what I mean? Looking to the future, though, I think this team is good for St. Thomas. I'm excited for the next couple years of St. Thomas. I think next year and the year afterwards are going to be really good. Talking to people around the program, they were really excited about the next couple of years. They really like Pierce Jackson. Wes is the number 10 that's come in the past couple of weeks, here and there. They're really excited about him. He might be like he they were talking to him about like valedictorian of his class type of quarterback, knows the playbook inside and out, is able to read things really quickly. I'm really excited for him. I think he's going to be really good. Already 6 foot as a sophomore. He's going to be one to watch in the next coming years. He played probably a little bit more of the fourth, and he looked pretty good. So I'm excited about him in the future.
Yeah, definitely so. I don't know if we need any more analysis on that game because Walker provided an incredibly in-depth one. So we'll move in to the second and final Division One game that we will cover. And the final leg of the District One Grand Prix, aptly named Prestonwood et or Parish et Prestonwood Parish Episcopal at Prestonwood Christian. Excuse me, that almost tripped me up. Prestonwood beats Parrish 52-49 in an all-time game that I got to cover. In terms of the statistics, Sawyer Anderson, 22 for 32, 517 passing yards and 6 touchdowns. Those are not real numbers. 54 yards on the ground. Marcus Hanisch had 17 carries for 109 yards and a touchdown. Carson Darby, 240 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns. Bryson Fields had 111 yards. Jalen Pyle had 2 touchdowns, both of which were insane. Beckham Smith had 2 receptions for 86 yards. Defensively, Nick Wheeler, 15 tackles. 13 of those were solos, 2 tackles for loss. DC Crane has 12 tackles. Landry Sattler has 3 tackles for loss. In terms of the winning team for Prestonwood, Luke Glass goes 17 for 24, 304 yards and 2 touchdowns. However, the workhorse in this game was LJ Taylor. 36 carries, count them, 36, 221 yards and 3 touchdowns. Matthew McClain had 5 receptions for a buck 90. And then Jonathan French Love got the scoring started early for the Lions, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns. Defensively, Joshua Bingard had 9 tackles. Harwell had 6 and a tackle for loss. A.J. Morial had 6 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a sack. And then Enzo Bingham had 3 receptions for 38 yards, 6 total, and then an interception. So in terms of the flow of the game, basically Prestonwood came out and on – basically, 2 straight drives, the exact same thing happened where they got to the end zone, they threw a slant to Jonathan French Love, and he caught it for a touchdown. I mean, the vibe of this game was that whoever had the ball last was going to win the game. It was so much score, 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 and both secondaries were kind of on the field just to stand there and kind of look around at each other. There wasn't much defense being played. And I remember I texted y'all in the middle of the game and said, there's a really good chance this game gets like 120 combined points. It was close. We got to 111, but 9 points off, I'll take. But that being said, even credit to the losing team, Sawyer Anderson throwing for 517 yards and 6 touchdowns is insane. And the receiving core he has, we talk about Pyle a lot. And we should, because he's the best receiver in Texas private school football. And I don't think it's close. Carson Darby might be my favorite to watch. 8 receptions, 240, and 4 touchdowns, as explained. Just whenever that kid gets the ball in his hands, whereas Pyle is really, really good. And most of the time, he's catching the ball in the end zone. So it's not his fault, but he's great at catching it and immediately scoring and making the catch look good. Darby gets the ball at like midfield and then just skirts through everyone, and no one can tackle him, and he scores. It's that kid needs to go play ball somewhere collegiately. He is fantastic. But in terms of Prestonwood, I think the main thing, and the reason that I took Parrish in this game, was there was word they were banged up, and they were down to the third-string running back. Problem is that third-string running back is LJ Taylor, who would be the first option for almost every team in the state.
Yep.
The stable that this team has when they're all healthy between LJ Taylor, Caden Collins, and Tekashi Shaw is a team when they're all healthy is a state title team. I fully believe that. And even beating the 5-time defending state champions without your top 2 running backs and an offensive line, they've had, I think, 7 different offensive line combinations this year. It's crazy. But all that to say, I'll say how the game ended just because it's fitting. Basically Parrish gets it down to like a 4th and 11, or Prestonwood gets Parrish to a 4th and 11. And you assume that Prestonwood or Parrish is going to convert because they converted all these, you know, every game before. And Sawyer drops back, doesn't see anything open. Finally see a guy he likes, throws the ball, and out of nowhere, the Randy Moss man of the week, Enzo Bingham, floats up, intercepts the ball, ball game. We've talked about Bingham a lot as a receiver and for good right, but I also wrote in my preview article of the Liberty Prestonwood game that he's an equally good member of the secondary, and he won the game for them doing that. All in all, from a macro standpoint, both of these teams, again, they play 10 times. I think each team wins 5, and it's going to make for a really interesting hypothetical matchup we have slated in the quarterfinals. I still, if you put a gun to my head, I still don't know who I'd pick in that game. It's incredible. The 3-team race we have at the top of District 1 and Division 1 is just an absolute treat to have, and that's kind of where I'll end it. It's incredible athletes everywhere, and just this season it can't end so soon. It needs to continue to go on so we can cover these races. But any quick thoughts regarding Prestonwood Parish between either of y'all?
I mean, I gotta call it how it is. That's 3 weeks in a row. I've had a probably se not severe underdog, but no one was on my side for three weeks in a row. I wrote them down just to read them out to you one more time, if you don't mind me reading them out for you. Prestonwood beats Parrish, which was a game I called. Both y'all said Parrish. Parrish would probably be taken by most everybody, but I called Prestonwood. Had Greenhill over TVS, which I was also correct about because I thought TVS is terrible and TVS is not good. Just kidding. They're all right. St. Mike's over Central. After the week before that, I picked Central over Concordia. I mean, we didn't get to talk about it because someone didn't want to do the math pregame, I guess, or before the podcast because he didn't want to put himself that far in the bottom. But I just did the math while you're talking about it. For those who don't know, the pick record is coming home. I am 132 and 39. Walker sits in second at 130 and 41. And West sits in last. Is that say last?
I'm down by three games.
Yeah,
Four.
I'm.
Four. Four games.
Whoa. Oh yeah, because Mercy Culture. Well, no, we all
Well, we all
lost.
lost
No,
that.
we all. I think I did the math right. So West went 0-3 on all of the ones that we had picked differently, and then as a group, we lost four together.
We'll see. We'll fact check this.
No, I don't think we need to because I just did it, and I think that I'm right, and I'm four games ahead of West Tolleson.
There's no trophy. You can't claim
It's
anything. I
coming
lost it. I
home.
lost the trophy. No
It's
one's getting
coming
it.
home. Oh my goodness gracious. To Oklahoma City as well. Texas Private School Podcast is
No.
going over the border. Oh my
No,
goodness.
we that's got to be in our articles of formation somewhere that trophy cannot leave the state. It's not the dadgum Oklahoma Private School Podcast. This is ridiculous.
That's good. No, but overall though, I truly I like when Walker talks earlier about just like seeing something in a team and stuff like the Hyde Park game, I really think that Prestonwood, like you, me and Wes at that Prestonwood Liberty game, I could tell you right now that Prestonwood was better than Liberty in that game, and Liberty came out and won, just, throughout that entire time. Talk about the Prestonwood Parish game, right? Like Prestonwood, overall, I felt was a better team. Parish against Liberty. Parish just came back in the second half. Liberty is by far the better team. Parish, in all regards, is call it banged up, call it whatever. They're not the Parish of the past. The defense is not what it used to be. And overall, just this there's a like I said last week, or like I said on Thursday, whatever it was. Sawyer Anderson and Jalen Powell are the two best players at their positions in private school. But other than that, it's just not a lot. It's not that defense of 2022 where every guy I was scared to go up against if I was in that position.
True. Yeah, that whole defense, I think 10 out of 11 or like 11 out of 13 because they rotated a couple guys, I think went
Right.
D1 along those lines. That's how good that defense was.
Yeah, they would have pummeled me. That's all I gotta
Yeah.
say.
I'll leave it with this. There is a true talk, and you said it at the start, Wes. Is this the end of the dynasty? Right? And that we'll end it on a kind of a serious note because this is crazy. We're We've all of us have kind of lived through a couple dynasties in our lifetime, right? The Parrish one was starting when our end of our careers. We lived through the TCCH
I
ones,
don't acknowledge that.
right? I'm just saying it. Bishop Dunn was those guys for years,
Nolan Catholic was up there.
Bishop Lynch for years, way before our time. Nolan was another one. There, Prestonwood, I mean, has been that team for decades now.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas Christian, right?
Yeah, Dallas Christian, absolutely. Regents, but they never won it. But Regents in the South was always that team.
All
All
Saints
Saints, All
back in
Saints
the
in the
day.
All
In
Saints
the
in the
SBC.
SBC, Kincaid in the SBC. There has always been teams, and I'm not gonna say, I don't hear the bells are ringing for Parish Episcopal, right? I don't know what I'm trying to mean, but like the
The alarm
funeral,
bells.
right? I will never say the dynasty is done until I see them lose in playoffs because you never know, right? But it's definitely looking like a team, right, that loses that many D1 guys on defense, has lost so two, three guys that went played big time ball on the offensive line for 4 straight years, You lost an Andrew Paul. You lost the Maddox Reed. You've lost Cedric Mays. You blah, blah, blah. You lose, you lose, you lose. For the past 3 years, they've been able to say, well, we've gained this. We've gained this. We've gained this. This is the first time they weren't really able to say, well, we've gained this. They gained pieces, but not proven pieces. And you're kind of seeing this as the years go on. It is crazy to say this might be the end. And we were talking about it on the pod. There's a lot of question marks going into next season for Parrish, right? And we'll talk way more about this if they end up losing round two, because this is the last year of Sawyer Anderson. This is the last year of Bryson Fields. This is the last year of Landry Sattler, last year of DC Crane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're losing guys that have been through the program. Next year, it gets a whole lot interesting for the Parrish Panthers. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think that's a fitting place to end it. So, no additional comments, and barring anything further from anyone else, another fun week in private school coming up. Be on the lookout for our week 10. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. Preview coming out on Thursday evening. Until then, as always, I've been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Thursday. See you later.